period. Okay, here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome to City on a Hill Radio Show. I'm Barbara Moore. I'm joined today by Kalen Jones, and we're going to begin our conversation just shortly. But I was thinking, as David Barton was giving that intro, and by the way, he so very kindly taped that intro for our show only, for City on a Hill, and we are so grateful for David Barton. I would say that he is among the very top historians in the world today. Even governments consult him. Our very own United States Congress uses his library. He has a massive library of just volumes from our many years now, going way back. He has accumulated volumes of historical books, and so our United States Congress even borrows from him on occasion, even though they do have the Library of Congress right there available to them. But I was thinking, what a history we have here in this country, which is unlike any other in the world. And we look back at our fathers and mothers, our forefathers, and we learn about them, and we learn about their sacrifices, their dreams, their hopes for this land, that it would be a land of opportunity for all people, that it would be a prosperous land. And talking about land, my goodness, this was a place of great land. This was the place where Europeans and those from all over could come and actually own their own land, and it was made available very cheaply to all who would work that land and keep it up. So what a land of opportunity, what a land of hope, a land of prosperity. Even the poorest among us here in this country live better than most people in other places in the world. And it's said that only about 5% of the world's population throughout history has ever enjoyed the freedom like we enjoy even today in this country. So we are greatly blessed. greatly blessed. And, you know, we're so blessed. It seems to me like the very least we could do is to learn about those that have gone before us and left us so much here in this great country. How about you, Caleb?
Yes, I believe that's a very true statement. I mean, the least we could do is also appreciate God who actually helped establish this nation as a Christian nation, which led to us being as blessed as we are. I don't think that the Founding Fathers would have been brave enough to do what they did unless they knew and had faith to know that God would be with them when they signed the Declaration. We have to remember that Great Britain was the largest empire on earth at the time that a few colonists decided to rebel against. So it was like David and Goliath, a battle such as that. So yes,
that's
we are
right.
Blessed. We should be appreciative.
That's right. It was definitely a David and Goliath situation because we were outmanned, outgunned. They were all powerful, as you said, the largest empire in the world, and the most powerful one. And who were we? We didn't even have troops. You know, those had to be raised, and those that were raised were a ragtag group that was coming up against the most well-trained, well-equipped military in the entire world, well-generaled also. You know, they had some fantastic generals. And, you know, it was a David and Goliath situation. But as you said and pointed out there, that they knew that their cause was righteous. They knew that God would be with them if their cause was righteous, and they believed it was. And if they followed him, you know, an example of this is after General Washington was named to be the commander-in-chief over the Continental Army, there were orders coming from his headquarters which stated things like there will be no profane language used in the military. Officers were to see to it that there was no blasphemy or profane language. They were not to have drunkenness or vice, there was not to be gambling, and the officers were not to do that as well. You know, there were the troops were to be at divine worship when they were, you know, when available, and they were not only to be there, General Washington said, but they were to be punctual. They were to be on their knees praying and praying for us to do the right thing, as well as for God to bless our arms. And he went on to say, you know, how could we expect God to bless our cause and our arms if we do not do those things which are right in his sight? So he was very, very careful to lead in a righteous manner and require that from our troops as well, because he knew that there would be, well, first of all, he knew that that was the right thing to do, and he also knew that there would be no hope for victory if that was not done, you know, as well. But well, Caleb, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's lift this radio show up today and the other needs that you want us to join with you and pray about, okay?
Okay. Heavenly Father, we first of all thank you, Lord, for blessing us and keeping us, Lord God. We just ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you allow this radio to go out to those in need, Father God. This broadcast, Lord, we ask that is led by the Holy Spirit, Father God. We declare and decree in the Spirit right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, that nothing will hinder or stop us, Father God, from doing your will, Lord. Father, we just pray for the nation right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We just ask that you bring unity among us, Father God. We ask right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you continue, Father God, to bless our leaders in our nation, Father God. We're not a perfect nation, Father God, but we have those who bow our knees to you, Father God, in prayer in this nation. We ask that you bless us, Father God, cover us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. Any need that needs to be met, Father, in our nation, Father God, help us to meet that spiritual need for our citizens, Father God. We just ask you to continue to bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kaylin, so very much. One of the things that we're going to be addressing today is Mitt Romney's speech before the NAACP today. But before we get there, I just want to kind of follow up and follow through with what we were talking about before. I was so blessed just a couple of days ago to be teaching my grandsons, my youngest grandsons, about some of the characteristics of George Washington, father of our country, first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen. And my 8-year-old grandson, Jack, was reading a biography of Washington, I stopped him in the middle of it. He was just finishing up the French and Indian War, and how George Washington had been kept alive, you know, during that war, and that particularly the Battle of Fort Duquesne. So I stopped him and I was filling in some blanks, you know, for example, you know, that after the battle was over, you know, Washington was like, wow. He took off his jacket and there were 4 bullet holes in his jacket, and yet not one of them had gotten to him, you know. He had had 2 horses shot out from under him during that battle, and that was the battle where General Edward Braddock from England had been killed. And he had had like 3 or 4 horses shot out from under him, but Washington had 2. And I was telling Jack and Sam that, you know, he knew that God had preserved him, that he had protected him. And even the Indians who had joined the French in that battle against the English and the colonials, even the Indians knew that God, that the Great Spirit had watched over this man. And 15 years after that battle, the Indian warriors, those some that were still alive, met with Washington, and they told him about what had happened that day. The chief said that he had told the braves, the Indian braves, to shoot that man. He said every gun was aimed at George Washington, in that battle, and yet none of them landed, you know. And the Indians said, "I told my braves that the Great Spirit is protecting that man, and he will be the father of a great nation." And so they told George Washington that 15 years after that battle. But George Washington knew that God had protected him, and he wrote that, and he said that. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that that's exactly what happened. And, you know, which kind of brings us back around to they knew during the time of leading up to independence and during the time of the war for independence that their cause was just. In fact, they said that. They said, our cause is just, and it's not for us alone, but it is the cause of all mankind, the fight for freedom. So, but I love our history, Kaylin. I love it, love it, love it. And the more I learn, the more I love it. So I just, I hope everyone will take advantage of the ability to read and think and pursue some of this knowledge that's available to us at the public library, online, so many ways. Garage sales, you can find books at garage sales for a mere pittance that you can learn so much from. So I just encourage everyone to learn our history. You won't regret it. If you, the more you learn, the more you will love our great people, our great nation, and the more you'll want to be involved to protect it and preserve it for our children and our grandchildren, all those that will come after us. So, back to, or forward, I should say, forward into our conversation, Kaylin, about your thoughts about the Mitt Romney speech to the NAACP today.
Yeah, that was, I think his speech wasn't well thought out, because to go before, and you know, the NAACP, which I won't give my comment about the NAACP, but I'll say this, is that, you know, immediately he goes into his speech and talks about the 14.4% unemployment in the African-American community and how Obama's policies have failed us. That is, those are true statements. You really can't argue with numbers or facts. And he went into, you know, how he would want to repeal Obamacare. And somehow there's a stigma now with that will give a response to an automatic, a negative response anyway, when anybody talks about repealing Obamacare. But people will make assumptions about laws but have no facts at all. If those people who booed him actually knew the facts behind the health care law, they would have clapped. Because that law is the single most, is the largest tax increase predicated upon the American people in history. It is the first time, well, not really the first time, but it's the only time now the government can actually mandate what you can, what you should buy. And nobody thinks about it. If you strip away the pre-existing conditions and you strip away being able to put people on your health care rolls up to the age of 27, you strip that out of it, those two main points of it, everything else is trash. I believe that it takes away, it actually creates a safety net too large, and it's unsustainable. It's an unsustainable safety net. But that goes, that's just talking about Obamacare itself, but mainly the point I'm trying to make is that he should have known going before the NAACP what type of response that would get. Now, I'm pretty sure Mitt Romney is just being honest and, you know, saying up front, look, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what, you know, he also said that he'll make no assumptions on who will support him and who will not support him. So overall, you know, it was a pretty good speech, but, you know, going before them talking about Obamacare, I don't think, you know, I don't think I would have done that. I think I would have framed the argument a little bit differently and talked about not just saying I would repeal it, but to go into why I would repeal it.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting that the radio headlines, the TV headlines, and tomorrow the newspaper headlines will be Romney booed by the NAACP.
Yeah.
That's the big news, and that's exactly what's going over the wires, and that's what the majority of Americans will take away from his speech today, which, you know, I think that whoever is advising Mitt Romney made a huge mistake. And I'm all about repealing Obamacare, I guarantee you. But if I were going to come before the NAACP, I would know that was going to be a given, that to say something like that was going to bring about a response of boos. I think it was a missed opportunity for him. I think he could have spoken about, and you said you would have framed it differently. I agree with you, and maybe I would have filled the speech and addressed the people there on some things where there was common ground. and built upon that common ground, because we have so much in common. He has. We're Americans. We have.
Yep.
We have so much together. You know, why? Why would you say something that was going to be headlines and nothing else would be remembered from the speech you give? To me, it was just a missed opportunity. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was a really stupid thing to do.
Yeah,
and, you know, I'm really angry about it, because it's one thing for this divisiveness to come from the White House. We know that that's what he's all about. He wants to divide and conquer. And we know that he is just over and over and over again demonstrated his contempt for the American people and his reneging on his promise to be a unifier, not a divider. You know, so we know that that's going to come from the White House and all the
yeah.
David Axelrod, the hatchet man, the genius of trouble. You know, we know, but for our Republican candidate for president to say something so stupid and not use this as an opportunity to build together, it just, Kaylin, I am just beside myself. I'm telling you.
It is. It's one of those situations that you look at and you wonder who's advising him, who's writing his speeches. I think politicians make the mistake sometimes of relying on speeches and somebody writing this speech versus just getting up there and speaking from their heart.
That's right.
And a lot of times I believe that if we see the American people have to reframe how we vote for people in order for politicians to change.
Yeah.
Then they will start speaking from their heart. But, you know, the American people have to frame, you know, what type of person they would like to be as president. When I look at Mitt Romney, I look at a man who, if he was president, I believe he would do an excellent job. I honestly believe he would do a better job than Obama would, of course, because he would be centered on growing the middle class and not so many government mandates and focusing on what the Constitution states as belief in the individual. The only problem I have with him is I don't see emotion from Mitt Romney. Like, I've seen him get emotional several times. What I mean by that is to start showing his feelings come out. You know, he's being too square, like I say. He's, like, being a little bit too square right now. For example,
yeah.
I don't know if you saw the clip, but there was a clip of a guy who was taunting him from the crowd, all right? And Mitt Romney looks at the guy and not really gets in his face, but he's aggressive. Mitt Romney needs to be a little bit more aggressive and not be so casually laid back, because right now in our country, we're in a serious situation. If you look at right now, as of today, the Second Amendment is under attack, but not under attack from anywhere in the U.S. It's under attack from the U.N. U.N. decides to have gun talks now, which will then infringe on our Second Amendment right. They take Ahmadinejad and put him on the council of a gun treaty, which, by the way, is preposterous. It's a slap in the face to Israel, slap in the face
to
the Middle East.
But you know what, Kaylin? It just shows what the UN is. It really does reveal that.
The UN wants to move the world into this one world society where we have these world laws, and now our court begins to talk about international law, which has no effect or anything to do with our Constitution. It's trying to strip away our sovereignty. So when you look at the seriousness of the situation, we have Assad and different Middle Eastern countries who are destabilized now because of the inaction of Hillary Clinton. We have a lot of things going on, and he needs to show that he can be effective and show his emotion and be a leader and not you know, try to cater to and not try to be so politically correct all the time. But, yeah, you're right. He should have handled that situation a lot differently. He knows better than that. So I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah. Boy, to me, just such a lost opportunity. But, you know, you're right. We want a leader who will fight for us. Well, he needs to be more aggressive and fight to uphold the principles of the Constitution. And we do have to retrain ourselves with our language, because so much has been perverted in our language. And it's not so much what we say, but what people hear. And a good example of that is with the Tea Party. When some people hear Tea Party, they hear racist, which
yeah.
Nothing could be further from the truth. I would be so shocked if there had ever been any racism shown within a Tea Party group. I could count on it not being racist. You know what I'm saying? I would stand on that. And in fact, if the Tea Party movement was racist, why would they want minorities to join with them? Why would they want to include more and more? The desire is for more and more minorities to be involved, that we would all be involved together. If it were racist, would that make sense, Kaylin?
No, it really wouldn't. I mean, This has all gotten out of hand.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I got a cough. I don't know what's going on with that, but yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, when we look at, I'm sorry, I got something stuck in my throat anyway. When you begin to look at, you know, the way our political arena is framed now by the media.
Yeah.
For example, I looked at, went to four different websites, AOL.com, CNN.com, FoxNews.com. I don't remember what the other one was right now. I think I went to The Blaze, I believe, just to see what, you know, how the argument is phrased differently. And in AOL.com, the first thing I saw was Romney booed at NAACP meeting. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And FoxNews.com says Romney speaks to the NAACP. Nothing about him being booed. Nothing about him being booed. The other two, CNN, Romney booed, you know, The Blaze, there wasn't anything up there yet.
But see,
so,
Fox's audience is limited. You're not going to find Obama supporters watching Fox.
Yeah, you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. And it's almost like MSNBC, CNN, and, you know, these other news outlets focus on that, Romney booed, you know. Doesn't really say anything substance in the article. There's no type of, no nothing. You know, this morning I was listening to, this is right on cue, when we talk about how the media frames things. Did you know in World War II, before World War II, the anti-Semitism of the German media, okay, helped build the hatred towards Jewish people?
Oh, yeah.
It was little by little. It was little by little. It's always bits and pieces. And you begin to see the same thing after the financial meltdown here, as you hear the talk about, well, these were Jewish bankers. You know, you begin to, and it's here and it's there. And the media does things to try to steer the argument in the country towards a certain way. And if a major news group like CNN, who we know who owns CNN, which we know how he feels about communism, capitalism, we know how he feels about that. So you begin to see whole news organizations trying to steer the argument in a certain way and make Romney look like he's disconnected. Like MSNBC did him with the whole, the Wawa's, that, you know, at the sandwich place, talking about touchscreen versus, you know, what government can offer versus what the private sector can, you begin to see news organizations corrupt and begin to steer. And I try to explain to people that's the same thing that happened before World War II. It's the same class warfare that was orchestrated then is happening right here in the U.S. And the reason why people are not aware is because, like you said earlier, we need to try to learn history so we don't repeat history. So we can see something in seed form starting to happen, we can identify it and eliminate it immediately. You know, the way our news media steers arguments has gotten out of control. But, yeah, I was just as angry as you were when I read it. I was thinking, why are they focusing on the fact that he was booed? Like, why is that the headline? Why isn't it just, you know, Romney spoke at NAACP meeting, and then just be a journalist. Just talk about what he said. You can put in there that he was booed after he said something, but it doesn't have to be the headline, the eye catcher, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, but I tell you what, we can expect that based upon the record. You know, the Bible says the simple believe every word, but the prudent looks well to his going. We can look at the record, and we can see that that's that was a gift given to them on a silver platter with a beautiful bow tied on it, and anyone with any brains would have known that. And you know what you're talking about pre-World War II with the anti-Semitism that was built up. It truly was built little by little, plus little adds up to much. And so, yeah, then it got to the point where they had the final solution, according to Hitler, to just totally eliminate the Jews. And here in this country, as you said, the media has been involved in this anti-rich people, anti-free market. You hear words constantly about fair. Something is not fair. And there's been this little-by-little buildup in the minds of Americans that rich people are bad they are to be hated, and the reason that poor people don't have as much is because the rich people have taken it away from them with a zero-sum game, as the communists believe that there is limited wealth and that wealth cannot be created. It has to be confiscated. And any day now, Kaylin, I'm expecting CNN and the rest of them to start talking about the bourgeois. You know, this is happening over and over again. It happened in the French Revolution, where the nobility of France was turned upon so viciously that they all lost their heads and they had to dig ditches. After the guillotine was invented to chop off the heads of the nobility so quickly, you know, in a much faster way than just by the axe, then they had to dig ditches because the blood had to be taken out of the city, had to have a way to get the blood out of the city. Well, that didn't just happen that way. That was a buildup of the rich and the noble people being marginalized and being blamed for everything. And I'm not saying they didn't have faults, and I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that this was a hatred of the nobility, and in Russia it was against the bourgeois, anything that smacked of wealth or even moderate comfortableness, you know, all of that was confiscated, and there was a hatred that was instilled and inculcated into the minds of the people through phrasing, through the language, through what they choose to show on the evening news when most people are watching the news, or many people are watching the news. I won't say most, but it's you know, that's where we are. Now back to the the mandate. And at one point you said the government can mandate, according to the Supreme Court and John Roberts' decision, the Chief Justice, his decision, the court can mandate whatever they want to. They can tell us what to do and penalize us if we don't do it. Tell us what to buy, and give us penalties if we don't. But the only way to avoid that, there is a way to avoid that. But only problem is, it's going to take a well-informed citizenry to do it.
Yeah, it's going to take
I mean, we can elect people who really do love this country, who really do love the Constitution and the Declaration and the Founding Fathers and the ideas that they established in our institutions that brought about such opportunity and prosperity, and freedom, you know. But it's going to take people who really love freedom and opportunity and the opportunity to prosper, to acquire, to possess, to create wealth. You know, Caitlin, every American can have that opportunity. If we work together and we correct some things that are wrong, and, you know, Caitlin, I think about in our small community where we are, here in Dothan, Alabama, there are so many people who would love to mentor young people, who would love to put them on the right path and help them in any way. That's happened throughout our history in this country. There's been mentoring. Ben Franklin was a mentor. Even after he died, he left the funds to mentor those who wanted to work hard, start up a business, those who wanted to be educated. He left money for that. And he was a mentor. Throughout our history, that's been the case. You go back to a signer of the Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Rush, Dr. Benjamin Rush. He trained about 3,000 physicians, and he trained them not only medically, but ethically as well. He trained them biblically. And he said to treat his instructions to the physicians. And by the way, he lived what he taught. He did not leave during times of plagues and epidemics. He stayed, and so did the ones he trained to take care of people while others were fleeing. So, but Benjamin Rush trained them and said, you know, treat everyone as unto the Lord. Don't neglect the poor. What you do for the poor, when you take care of the poor and treat them medically and take care of them, God will repay you. If they cannot, God will repay you for that. And so that was the foundation laid for our medical profession here in this country. And that was built upon. And even to this day, in communities all over this country, there are doctors who want to give a portion of their time and skill to help people who would not otherwise be able to be helped. You know, people who have God's heart want to help others. And we could, oh boy, it could be really, really good. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes, ma'am. I was just thinking about when you mentioned doctors. You know, Ms. Barbara, the next thing on the list, people need to mark it down. I'm telling you, the next agenda will be to demonize the medical profession. That's the next step. They've already started with the healthcare law. I know you know history, and in each socialist state, they put the doctors under subjection to make low wages, and they were state workers. and other doctors ended up fleeing in most socialist countries. But just to go to show you that there are some doctors back then, even in the days when Russia went socialist, the days when even doctors who choose to stay in Cuba who make low wages. Now that you mentioned doctors and mentioned one of the founding fathers mentoring, yes, there are people who have an inherited gift to want to educate, want to leave a mark when they leave this earth. And what better mark can you leave than to mentor somebody? Just like Elijah and Elisha. When Elijah left here, he was mentoring Elisha.
That's
and
right.
Elisha was able to carry the mantle after Elijah was caught up. So it is very important to have someone when you leave to take your place. And I think that even our children need to understand that a lot better, and it makes for a better society. So, yes, that is a beautiful thing mentorship is. Matter of fact, that's one of the prime things that Jesus focused on was mentorship. That's why he had his disciples. And after he left here to come again, his disciples went out and continued the work as we continue to work to this day. So, yes, that is at the very heart of what we believe as Christians is mentorship.
That's right. And it's in every community, in this country, there are those who have that heart, because God has his people everywhere.
Yes.
And there are those who have that heart to leave behind something of significance and something that will continue after they're gone, as well as just having a heart for people that are in need and you know could do better. You know, if we could deal with things within our communities, you know, I'm thinking about in our school system here. We have two high schools here in Dothan, Northview and Dothan High. And there are one of the things that I wanted to see done in those high schools is to have good people, motivational speakers, come in for an assembly and talk to our young people, particularly those who have started from humble beginnings and have achieved a great deal in their lives, in various walks of life. I think that would be so inspirational to our young people today who think, many of them think, that if they're not just handed something, well, that's unfair. Life is not fair to them because they're not just handed something. They need to hear. They need to read, too, but I'm not counting on that. But they need to hear the stories of those here in our own community. And, of course, Mayor Mike Smith is a prime example of that. Humble beginnings, orphanage, and adoption and into the school system. But you know, young people need to hear that others have accomplished a great deal by sacrificing and by looking ahead and by being grateful for the opportunities where they are right there, wherever they are, and that through effort and perseverance and most of all seeking God's guidance and help, they can accomplish a great deal. They can accomplish whatever they desire in this land, you know, but it's not being done. It's not being done. As far as I know, there aren't any motivational speakers that have been invited. As far as I know, you know, that's not even on the radar screen for them. But think what a difference that could make, Caitlin, right here in our own community.
Yes, ma'am. It make a large difference. And I'm gonna say one more thing before I have to go this afternoon. But it's very important for the men, especially, to stand up and be men. You know, men just aren't men anymore. They've been swallowed up by pornography and sports and, you know, whatever they got going on, whatever vice they have. Men just aren't men anymore. They don't want to sacrifice. They don't want to, stick it out in their family. They'd rather just have it easy instead of going through it, you know, going through a tough time. And society is really held up by the pillars, which are men. And when men don't step up, then, of course, God will use women, since the men won't do anything. But it's time for men to start being men again and, you know, stop giving themselves over to the lust of their flesh, but doing what they were created to do, and that's lead. And that is why a lot of the young people are lost, because fathers are MIA. They've disappeared.
Yes.
And, you know, and that is the main cause of the problems in society, is there's no men. You know, I think somebody one day made a joke about if a real man had heard that his daughter was being taught sexual education in elementary school and middle school, a real father would go down there and say, "You're not going to teach my kid this. This is my
job. Exactly.
And if you even try to, I'll meet you out back in the parking lot." You know, that is a man. That's a man who will protect his family at all costs. And you also have, you know, children being told they can't honor God in school. A man goes down there and says, "Look, you know, this is my child, and if we can't do this, we'll do it at home." And we just don't have, you know, men really involved in, you know, politics. But if you ask the average man what, you know, the last three NBA championships were, or NFL championships were, or, you know, who's doing this and that in sports, or, you know, who's the hottest babe on television, or, you know, you ask them these types of questions, off the top of their head, boom, 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 boom. You know, it's sad. You know, it's one of those situations where men have been just beat down. I think a study came out that said 2/3 of men were more worried about money than anything else, but men were not concerned about the environment their families were raised in. And that itself shows you just how far we've fallen.
Well, you know, Kaylin, it's going to be the men. Each man will stand before God and give an account, not only for himself, but his family as well, because he is the head of the family. God created Adam first. He created man first. And that man is responsible for his family. And he will give an account before God, which is a terrifying thought when you look at around in today's world and how the men are acting and so forth. Well, Kaylin, I know that you've got to leave us now, and I appreciate you so very much. And just say God bless you and thank you again.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, listeners, we're so glad you joined us today. We're going to pray, and then we'll close out for today's radio show. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for our time. We thank you, Lord, that it is a gift from you, Father. This day, oh God, this day is like no other has ever been before, nor will be again. That this day is a gift from you to us, Father. We don't know about tomorrow. You haven't promised us tomorrow on this earth. But we thank you for this day. And I pray, Lord, that profound thought will just reverberate within us, Father. And that we will thank you for it, O God, and that we will heed your teaching, Lord, that we will obey you and trust you, and Father, that we will approach the rest of this day with you uppermost in our minds and hearts, that we will move wherever you want us to move and say what you want us to say, Lord, because you know what's best. You always know what's best, Lord. Forgive us for not asking you and not consulting you every day, Lord, at all times, because you desire to lead us and guide us in the way of righteousness. And I pray, Father, that that's what will happen the rest of this day with all those who are listening, all your people, Lord, throughout the world, that we will say, our God reigns, Jesus Christ is Lord, and that we will follow you, O God. We thank you, Lord. We love you so much. We pray you bless our country. We pray you bless our troops and their families. And Father, we pray that you'll bless Israel. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Protect your people, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you once again, listeners, for joining us today at City on a Hill Radio Show. Please check out our podcasts at cityonahill.tv. Share them with your family and friends, wherever they live throughout the world, so that they can, too, become informed, inspired, and involved. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. And may God bless America. Thank you. Bye-bye.